Blog Talk Radio.
Fashion emergency hotline.
Help! My mom doesn't think I need to go back to school.
You have to go to school. It's the law.
You didn't let me finish. She doesn't think I need to go back to school shopping.
That should be a law. Go to Old Navy. You'll be able to best dress before school even starts.
Old Navy?
Yes. Right now, kids' clothes are up to 60%
off. 60% off?
Yeah. The hallway will be your runway. They have awesome graphic tees, colorful active gear, and jeans start at just $10.
Now you're talking. Thank you.
Don't thank me. Thank Old Navy. Balance 728 to 92. Select styles only.
Blog Talk Radio.
There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Romans 8, 1 through 3. Today, this morning, on Pathways of Truth Radio, The Anatomy of Temptation, The Flesh Never Forgets. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Once again, Pathways to Truth Nation, I'm your host, Nick Danger. Welcome to Pathways to Truth Radio this morning. Joining me on the wheels is still Brother Frank Billions. Brother Frank, good morning, sir.
Nick Danger, good morning, man, good morning. Welcome to the show, everybody. Hey, man, we got an overcast days here in Charlotte, North Carolina, man. But we know it's sunshine outside.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's raining pretty good. It's as much needed. It's almost a forecast of today's show.
Yes, sir.
Because what happens a lot of times. The rain has a tendency to calm us down.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing for sure, the rain slows us down, and it most often puts us to sleep. And so at the end of the day, we welcome rainy days when we're tired. Because they almost always make us not go anywhere or do anything. at the end of the day, it's just like today, we're talking about the anatomy of temptation, but our flesh is trained. Our flesh is trained by our desires.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we like, the things that we don't like. Paul was writing about his flesh and its response to sin. Okay, the behavior that's created by an individual or group of individuals condemn themselves through their actions of sinful behavior against God's law and the Spirit of God. Is the result of a fractured relationship between man and the God that they are abusing through their sinful behavior. I'm almost done. So at the end of the day, Christ comes as a replacement for our sinful behavior. He takes on sin as a suit, puts it on like a suit. And wears it on our behalf. Listen, his flesh became our replacement. And he died where we should have died. But we live because he lives. That's it.
That's the unadulterated word. And what a way to open up this show. I definitely like the fact that we must recognize that in Christ we can conquer these temptations. But it's only in Christ. I like Brother Nick when you said that our flesh is trained by our desires.
Yes.
What a revelation. So in order to understand that, you must understand if our flesh or if your flesh is trained by your desires, how do we tame your desires?
Yes.
And the flesh or our temptations can be tamed by the Spirit, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and you can live in the Spirit.
Yes.
The Bible says that we can live in the Spirit. So if you can just get to the point where you can meditate and study and trust God and believe his word and believe his guidance and trust in the Holy Spirit, he can help you live a life where you have tamed your desires and your temptations.
Yes.
I know that the Word of God says that we always got to be tempted. We always going to have temptations, and that's true. But you don't have to act on those temptations and those desires that lead you down to the road of destruction. But in order to help you on that walk, You have to comprehend and understand God's way of doing things.
Yes.
He has made a way for us to live in the Spirit. And the Word of God says that if you live in the Spirit, you can also walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
But you gotta live in the Spirit in order to walk in it. Okay, so we in this now. So today we're talking about the anatomy of temptation. The flesh never forgets. I was thinking about this, Nick. You know, because of our flesh nature, the flesh nature will tempt a person to pray to Jesus for anything they're doing wrong.
Yes.
They just use prayer as a byword for anything and not really comprehending who Jesus is, what his purpose is, because we're just being taught incorrectly about a lot of things.
Yes.
That how the Spirit works. So I was meditating this, Brother Nick. I'm just going to get this in right quick. Jesus was a carpenter.
Yes.
Look, he wasn't a doctor or a lawyer. He wasn't your doctor in your sick room. He wasn't your lawyer in your courtroom. Jesus is in the business of building or repairing structures.
Yes.
Look, that's his expertise. If you need a doctor, you need to call Dr. Cornell at the medical center. if you need a lawyer, you need to call the law offices of Aquadella, Stroud, and Moore. If you need mortuary affairs specialists, if you need one of the mortuary affairs specialists, You need to call Barnett and Percival Marchereri. Okay. See, the flesh have you praying to Jesus when you need a mortician. You praying to a carpenter. Okay. See, deception is that same old cheap magic trick. Come on in, man.
No, man, I'm just laughing because it's funny that you say that because I wanted to talk a little bit about, and you've already begun. I'm just going to say it so that our listeners are following us. We're talking about temptations and the flesh, but we're going to talk about. I want to break this up into two parts. I want to talk about temptation. I wanted to talk about the anatomy of temptation and what temptation is, because a lot of people think that what temptation is, it really is not. I want to clear up what temptation is. Because if you ask the average person what temptation is, they will probably say, it's something that somebody wants me to do that I probably shouldn't do, that I really like, but that's bad for me. Is that too fast? Okay. It's something that somebody wants me to do or asks me to do or tries to get me to do that I probably shouldn't do, but that I like it and it's probably bad for me. Okay, most often we might think about eating, if we're on a diet or trying to go on a diet, we love chocolate, we eat chocolate, we're not supposed to eat chocolate. People that have high blood pressure, gotta have them pork rinds and them pig feet. They know they're not supposed to eat it, but they eat it anyway. They'll say that that's temptation. Okay. All right. I'm a man. I'm married. This woman at work keeps flirting with me. I really want to do it. But if I get caught, there's going to be a problem with my wife. I really would like to pin Jenny up in that copy room.
Yeah.
But if I get caught, I'm going to probably lose my job and my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might say, Brother Frank, I don't know that that's temptation. I might be wrong, but this is what I see.
Yeah.
Okay, let me read something to you. Okay. In the book of Matthew, Jesus is encountering the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost and Jesus are dealing with one another before he goes into the wilderness. It was not Satan who led Jesus into the wilderness, it was the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is there was a time of fellowship with the Holy Ghost before he was tempted of the devil.
Yes, sir.
Y'all cannot miss this. Okay, I'm going to go real, real. I'm going slow like a turtle or snail. The reason Jesus was able to resist the devil is because of the time of fellowship he spent with the Holy Spirit before the temptation arrived.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you not know that the spirit of temptation is a spirit created by God?
Mm-hmm.
And it is a test. So you say you are my son. I'm going to find out if you really are my son.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to put the things. Now, remember what I said temptation was. I'm going to put the things that you like right in front of your face. See, one thing about the flesh, as we say, the flesh never forgets. So Satan knows what you like. Good. You a skinny guy that likes big women?
You like midgets?
You like to smoke pot? You like crack? I'm gonna make sure that there's an abundance of it for you. I'm gonna make it easily accessible for you. If you say you a son, are we gonna find out where you are? So it's the spirit that leads you into the presence of temptation, and then it's the spirit that says to you, okay, so let's see how you can respond to the thing that I know you like. Can you resist it for my name's sake, or you partake of it and do like the heathen and pray to Jesus to ask him to forgive you? That's backwards.
Yes.
All right. One real quick, Brother Frank. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that those stones become bread. So wait a minute. You mean to tell me that the Holy Ghost was in the presence of Jesus for 40 days before Satan showed up? That's not what your pastors is teaching y'all. I know many of y'all hearing this for the first time because y'all don't read. But if you read, it says right there that it was 40 days and 40 nights before the devil even showed up.
Yeah.
Y'all was thinking your whole lives that it was the devil tempting Jesus for 40 days and 40 nights. Your whole lives, that's what you can take. So we tearing that paradigm down right now. It's right there in black and white. Matthew 4:1-3. Write it down and go look at it later. Brother Frank, I need 30 more seconds. The man that pursues the lust of the flesh is subject or controlled by the thing manipulated to the point of the inability of the individual to recognize what they are doing. This is what temptation does. Temptation manipulates your ability to recognize what you are doing. It mutes your senses. It desensitizes you to the things of God because you are carnally created, meaning you are a flesh nature. You are wicked and evil, and your body is condemned to death from the moment you are conceived. This is the beauty and the grace and the glory of God, that he came to correct that. Let me say this. The carnal man is the enemy of God. And carnality impedes our ability to see and hear the voice of God. That is why the flesh, and how the flesh never forgets. It's your turn, brother.
Wow. Paul said that the thing that I should do, I don't do.
Yeah.
And that thing that I shouldn't do, that I do. So he was warring in the flesh. He didn't want to do it, but he always found himself doing what he didn't want to do.
Yes.
And the thing that he should be doing, see, he should be going home to his wife in the evening time, but he's still ending up at the happy hour. Uptown.
Yeah. Very well said.
Only way to the happy hour, he knowing, man, I should have gone home to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that thing that he shouldn't be doing, that's what he's doing. So one way that you're going to have a tough time in this life is you being disobedient to God's order and God's way of doing things. Oh, okay. God created Eve for Adam for a purpose. And one of those purposes is to help him with temptation.
Mm-hmm.
See, a wife, a woman, was created for the man for a purpose, so they can operate together, so they can work together to defeat temptation. So I know a lot of y'all have made it through in your singleness. I know a lot of y'all have done that in your singleness. You have made it through, and you done prayed, and you done did all that, but you went through this toiling period throughout your life when God said, I made a man to help you, or I made a woman to help you. Why are you trying to do this your way and not my way? Listen, it's not holy to be single. That's not holy. When God designed us for each other, somebody lied to you. And more than that, you lied to yourself. It is offensive to God for you to be a man and say, I don't need a wife. And God made the wife for you. And vice versa. Why are you trying to be tempted by the devil for the majority of your life when I've made a way of escape for you? Okay. See, having a spouse, having my wife, comforts my temptations. My wife comfort me along with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So my wife comforts my mind, my flesh mind, and my nature. My wife comforts my nature. Because I have a wife, I don't have an idle mind because I have a wife. I don't have idle time because I have a wife. See, idleness is the devil's worst, y'all.
Yeah.
So God designed this perfectly for us. See, and the privilege that I have, now, I know y'all men love y'all wives, and I know a lot of y'all got daughters of God. I know a lot of y'all have some of God's daughters and stuff. Most of y'all got the strange women in the land, but I know it's a few people out there that got some daughters of God. I've just been afforded to have God's favorite daughter. That's just me. So my mind is stayed on the kingdom and not the world because I have a wife. See, my wife is from the kingdom. She's God's daughter, so my mind is stayed on my wife and not the money. So my mind is stayed on the kingdom and not the world because I have a wife. See, most people say their money is on their mind. Well, no, my wife is on my mind. See, because she comforts me.
Yes.
So I can stay kingdom-minded and not worldly-minded with money and lust, because the world brings lust.
Yes.
With money, the devil uses money to fuel your lust. So, but because my mind is stayed on the kingdom, because my mind is stayed on my wife, only thing I do with money, I just band it up and throw it in the corner of the bank somewhere and dare it to move. So the money ain't on my mind. So the lust and the temptations are being comforted by my wife. I hope somebody can hear me in the spirit this morning. I stay faithful to my wife because I walk by faith in God. Jesus says, have faith in God. So I have faith in God, so it's easy for me to be faithful for my life because I have faith in God, because I'm walking by faith. You're walking by faith, that comforts you. It's easier to be faithful when you're walking by faith.
Frank, okay. Talk a little bit about. I want to let the Pathways of Truth Nation into the war room, the real war room, not this foolishness, this going on in the media.
Yeah.
See, the war room I'm talking about is, we're talking about the anatomy of the flesh and temptation, how the flesh never forgets. I want to talk a little bit about how your wife comforts you in the midst of temptation from another woman, and how a woman's failure to comfort her husband opens the door to temptation. How about that?
Okay. Okay. Since my wife, is in love with me, and she desired to be with me, and she loves my comfort, and she wants to make sure that I'm at peace, because I'm a person that want to walk in love, joy, and peace, then she do not withhold herself from me. So what happens, she knows my anatomy spiritually and physically, so she understands that. So because my wife comforts me sexually, then what that does, that comforts my flesh nature. So when I go out into the world, I've already been comforted. Look, the temptations that comes, are my flesh have not welled up for temptations.
Yes.
See, but if my wife withhold herself from me, my flesh man wells up, and when I go out into the world, I have a tendency, because my eyes are portals, to look in the world, and then I might be desirous of another woman because my flesh has welled up because my wife has not comforted me.
Yes.
So the longer my wife do not comfort me, the more my flesh wells up, and the stronger the temptation gets.
Yes.
But because my wife is always comforting me, my flesh stays at bay and don't well up. Oh, I wish somebody could hear me in the spirit.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about right there.
Okay, but a woman thinks that she can withhold herself from her husband and he's going to be okay anyway. Well, you know that's a lie, because he already done cheated on you thousands of times.
Yes.
And you allow the enemy, that thing that you shouldn't be doing, you know you shouldn't be withholding yourself from him, but that thing you shouldn't be doing, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that thing that you should be doing, you don't do it.
Wow. That's great, Frank. And see, the other thing, we even talked about some of that this weekend, is we're still talking about this anatomy of temptation, because temptation is a manipulative spirit.
Yes, sir.
It is a spirit. Don't get it twisted. Mm-hmm. Temptation travels in packs, just
yes,
like
sir.
All the rest of the spirits. And temptation is ravenous. It is insatiable. That is why when it comes upon you, you do the things that you know you're not supposed to be doing.
That's it.
It manipulates you out of peace and love and joy into wickedness and evil and deception. And then ultimately, if you have any God in you, you know, you're remorseful. But a lot
mm-hmm.
of times, you are remorseful, but you're not repentant.
That's it.
Or repentant.
That's it.
You're not. You're just remorseful because you got caught.
Mm-hmm.
You're not remorseful because of what you did.
Right.
And so as we move through this process, the Holy Spirit showed me a maze. He showed me a maze about this. This is the lust of the flesh and anatomy and temptation. He showed me a maze, and once you enter into a maze, you can never stop moving if you expect to get out. Okay, inside of a maze, there is no charted direction. If you've ever seen a mouse, okay, in a maze, now take the mouse out the maze and put the man or the woman in the maze. See, the mouse never stops, or the man never stops and reflects. He just hits one brick wall after another. And so it is God's perspective on our movements in this spiritual experiment. God over us, looking down at this maze. Okay? It's the perspective the scientist has when the scientist is looking at the mouse. And he's observing the mouse's behavior as he's trying to figure his way out of the maze. See, unlike the mouse, God can see the way of escape. That's what 1 Corinthians 10:1-3 tells us. There is a way of escape.
Yes, sir.
And see, and God has afforded each one of us a way of escape from temptation through the leading and guiding of the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what Brother Frank said at the beginning, that the Holy Spirit is a solution to the temptation.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and lastly, Brother Frank, he has given us examples has happened to those who have fallen prey to temptation. Most of us don't need any help in the area of recognizing and acknowledging the walls we have erected for ourselves through our lawlessness and disobedience. But the only way out of that maze is for the hand of God to reach down and pluck us out. But this is after allowing us to experience the adversity, the brokenness of our prideful spirits, and how we immerse ourselves into sincere repentance and submission by faith alone, walking alongside the Holy Spirit as he rescues us from ourselves and leads us into the presence of the King of Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen. Woo!
I ain't got happy over here.
That right there, Brother Nick, helped me to realize that what the Son of Man was dealing with when he was in the earth realm, when he was saying that he has nowhere to lay his head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, Christ wanted to be able to rest his mindset. So he could be comforted. But when he was here in the earth realm, Jesus was saying that I have nowhere to rest my head, man, to lay my head. Okay, one of the reasons why what he was saying is that because of this, our bodies are like trees. Our torso is the trunk. Our legs and our arms are the branches. So we're representation of trees. Okay, what we are decaying. When we're walking in our flesh nature, we are decaying trees. So since the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head because of the anatomy of the flesh man like a tree, Christ has to nest in decaying wood like the black or the brown ant. Okay, or Christ has to build nests by boring tunnels in wood like the solitary bees. Okay, see, look, man, we are decaying. So Christ got to find his spot in decaying wood.
Hmm. Wow.
Okay, listen. What I'm saying is that Christ is like the carpenter ant and the carpenter bees. See, the carpenter ant, they have to make their nest in decaying wood. See, Christ is the carpenter. The nature, the anatomy of the decaying flesh nature, folks walking after the things of the flesh instead of the things of the spirit, the anatomy of the flesh is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Yes.
So when you are not living a life of love, joy, and peace, love represents God the Father, because God is love. Joy represents the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit represents joy in the Holy Ghost. Peace represents the Son because he's the Prince of Peace. So love, joy, and peace is a representation of the Godhead. If you are not walking in love, joy, and peace, or if one of those things are missing out of your life, if you don't have any peace because you're indebted, you're outside the kingdom. So temptation can run over you.
Yes.
You cannot combat that. You when you don't lose your joy, your temptation gonna run over you. Because when you lose your joy and your peace, then your love starts slipping away. The devil got full reign. The only thing you have left, when you don't have love, joy, and peace, the only thing you have left to depend on is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's why you're in love with your house or your car. Oh. See, you prideful about your house because your love is not there.
Yes, sir.
God's word says this, Nick. God's word says that. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Christ is saying that if you live a life in the Spirit and you walk in the Spirit, you can crucify the flesh with the affections and lust. See, but you got to get in him, though. You have to get in him. So you have to understand his plan and purpose for your life. So as a man, I know that his plan and purpose for my life is to have a wife so she can help me to be comforted and to comfort my flesh. See, the emphasis is on, he said, they that are Christ. The emphasis is on they that are.
Yeah.
See, because I know everybody think that they Christ. I know that everybody think they God's children. Okay, listen. The word says they that are Christ. That means that the majority of y'all are not.
Mm-hmm.
That means the majority of y'all, the reason why you always stay in temptation and you fall to temptation because you're not Christ. You haven't been crucified in him. You hadn't reckoned that you are dead. You only realize that you are a spirit walking after the things of the Spirit. You don't realize that you're a spirit having a natural experience. You don't even realize that. You think you're a flesh man, so you get mad at anything. So it's easy for you to do that thing that you should not be doing. It's easy for you to fall for temptation. Then he goes on to say, to help me out with this, because all of this is about God. This is not about me. This is not about you, Nick. All of this is about pleasing our Father.
Yes.
It's all for his glory. He created you for his glory, not for your glory. So because you don't study and meditate his word and don't even acknowledge the things that he's doing for you in your life, then you fall to temptation. And he goes on to say, he said, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. He's saying that you're desiring this. You started out, you started to show off with that.
Mm-hmm.
He made a way for us to not desire vainglory. See, a lot of guys glorify that they, you know, that they picked the girl up in the locker room at work and they got a wife.
Yeah.
They bragging about that.
Yes.
You know, And so they'll try to provoke the other husbands to try to find them one to do it.
Yes.
And then the other husband is envying the guy that did it, and he has
That's
a wife.
Mm-hmm. That's how it goes. That's exactly how it goes. Temptation always has an answer for your lust and desires. I'm going to say that again. Temptation always has an answer for your lust and desires. No matter what question you ask temptation, he going to have an answer. Can you help me find this pornography on this website, because I have a particular liking for this particular type of thing? Temptation is going to say, oh, absolutely. I got 27 options for you. No matter what shape, size, color, no matter how much you want to spend, I got something for every budget. Well, I can't afford this, but do you have something? I only got $100. Can you give me something for $100? Oh, yeah, absolutely. We got 17 options for you at $100.
Yeah.
Listen, temptation never says no. Temptation is always yes.
Yeah.
Temptation only becomes no if it's only has no as a possibility if the Holy Spirit is leading you. Don't miss the fact that the Holy Spirit preceded Christ Jesus as a banner. See, the Holy Spirit is our confidence. Spirit is like a big brother in the midst of bullies.
Yes, sir.
When the bullies see your big brother, I ain't never seen the bully see the big brother and then keep trying to be the bully.
No.
The bully see the big brother, he cut tail and run.
Yes.
All right, so that's the confidence we have in the Spirit, Brother Frank, is that he can deliver us from ourselves in the midst of and change our desires for the things of the flesh to the things of the Spirit.
Wow. That's it, Nick. See, Brother Nick, man, most people don't deny themselves of anything, bro. Look, self-denial? Are you serious? Man, most people want it all, man. Everything that the world got to offer, man, they want it.
Yes, sir.
Man, look, the only reason most people can't please their selfish desires is because most of the working folks are broke.
Yes.
And look, and they can't feed their desires. But if they had a little bit of money, oh.
Wow. Should be out of control, wouldn't it? Worse than it already is.
It'd be out of control. Look, we're talking about the anatomy of temptation. God says that I can help you and show you that you can mortify the flesh.
Yeah.
Well, that's foolish talk to most folks, man. Mortify the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I gotta have fun, man.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I only have one life, man. You know, so but then they wanna come praying and crying to God for every little thing.
Yeah.
They wanna come pray, they pray into the carpenter, you know, to keep them out of prison. When they done bypass Aquadella, Stroud, and more law offices to go to the carpenter.
Yeah.
The carpenter said, man, you need to go and talk to the law offices, man. What are you telling me for? You keep you out of prison, man. You shouldn't have stayed for them temptations.
Yeah.
So how are you going to live a spiritual life, a believer's walk, if you don't live in the Spirit and you don't walk in the Spirit? Okay, I know what's happening, Nick. I thank you, Holy Ghost. I know what's happening. Christians, I hear y'all out there saying, how do you walk in the Spirit?
Yeah.
Christians, I mean, church-going folks still do not know how to walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
Let me help out a little bit, Nick. Christ, just last night, I was talking to my wife, just last night, and in the kingdom of God, this is a mystery, and because we give out mysteries every now and then on this show, but in the kingdom of God, we have what we call a golden rule. Okay. I have been afforded the opportunity in this earth age to witness the golden rule being fulfilled. I had the privilege to witness it in the earth realm, in this earth age. Okay. Okay, this is it. My wife took in her disabled mother and have bared all of her burdens with no murmuring or complaining or help except for the things that she asked me to do. Okay. My wife took on the spiritual burdens, the medical burdens, the nutritious burdens, the financial burdens, the emotional burdens of her disabled mother, and she took them all on without murmuring or complaining or help from anybody except for the things she asked me to do.
Wow.
Okay. God's word says that the golden rule is, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Wow.
Look, bro. Look, all the temptations had to leave my wife, and I see him. And I see her walking in the Spirit.
Yes.
Listen, man. I know God has a lot of daughters. I just have his favorite one.
That's all right.
That's good. Yeah. See, that's awesome, because when we're talking about the flesh, listen, this is another thing about the flesh. You talk about the perspective of servitude.
Yes.
See, the one thing that a daughter of God has to assume, because it's a byproduct of being of walking in the Spirit, is servitude. And submission.
Mm-hmm.
See, submission is not slavery. Submission is serving.
That's it.
Okay, I'm gonna prove it. That it was God that submitted. It was Christ, Jesus, that submitted to the will of His Father, not as a slave, but as a servant, to come into the earth realm as a man to take on the sin of man.
Yes.
So that he could return to his original self. It's a cycle. The man or woman born in sin has an opportunity to reconcile themselves back to Christ through submission or serving God. They have the ability to take off the sinful nature and put on the eternal life. Listen, Frank, we talk about it so much.
Yes.
I don't really think that people sit down and really think about what eternal life really means, because it's become kind of a catchphrase and something that's kind of like an afterthought. People don't even talk about eternal life. It's like I pop off a soda pop can top and I throw it in the trash. Customers thought they'd give to eternal life. Who preaches on eternal life? Who teaches eternal life? It's like a lesson. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Frank, when was the last time you heard any of these jacklegs talking about eternal life?
Never.
Okay.
I never.
So we talking about the temptation of man. Every manner of temptation falling upon the shoulders of the government of Christ. And he assumed every manner of temptation and felt the full effect of every manner of evil and wickedness and sin that we have. Even the things that we can't even conceive of or know about, he took that upon himself.
Yes.
See, there's some sins that we can't even fathom in our mortal brains. We think we hear some of the obnoxious and abominable things that people do, and we shake our heads and say, I cannot believe that that man or that woman could do that to another individual, to that animal, or to nature.
Yes.
And I'm telling you that we have not seen or scratched the surface of the wickedness of the hearts of man. We haven't come close to it. And people might say, are you crazy, Brother Nick? I just heard whatever. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we ain't even got started yet.
Yeah.
All right. I say that to say our flesh nature is not exclusively our physical bodies, but the flesh is a spirit.
Yes.
Again, that has a mind of its own, and it morphs into whatever it is that the individual desires. Look, when you start off, let's say, addicted to drugs, or when you start off with the desire for drugs, I'll say this. When you first smoke your first joint, you're not addicted. And half of a joint might get you high. Over a period of time, your body adjusts to the needs and desires of that particular thing and creates a level of tolerance, which means you need more to achieve the original feeling that you had. That spirit of tolerance evolves into the spirit of addiction. Okay, once you evolve into the spirit of addiction, you take on other spirits. Okay, disregard for others, lack of concern for human life, for your lawlessness, full-blown lasciviousness, the whole nine, all those things. See, I said they travel in packs, Brother Frank. They just waiting for an opportunity to jump on you. Okay, as you evolve through these processes and your flesh gets more and more involved and committed to the particular temptation or sin, the body becomes defenseless. Y'all got to hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The mortal body becomes defenseless to the spirit. We've seen these people who are addicted. Their bodies are slaves to the temptation. The only thing that can rescue that individual is the spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been one testimony of an individual that I've heard who was immersed in a particular temptation that said, before the body of Christ, I was delivered from this temptation by the doctor. It was my lawyer that saved me from my prostitution spirit. It was my dentist that gave me the ability to conquer crack cocaine. I never heard that. All I've ever heard in the kingdom was it was the King of Glory and his spirit that rested upon me, arrested me, comprehended me, apprehended me, and broke that thing. And he breathed life into my dead body. He crucified my flesh. And he resurrected me. He made me new. He made me whole. He gave me a new perspective. He took me out of darkness and placed me in the light. I never heard a lawyer do that. A bus driver. I never heard a cabbie. I never heard any man do that. I never even heard a preacher do that. He don't have the ability to save you. He don't have the ability to forgive your sins. Stop going to the rectory, sitting in a little box, talking to that priest. Now that man can't do nothing for you. Am I going somewhere today? You better lock yourself into the Lord Jesus Christ if you got any shot at being delivered from temptation. And only the Holy Ghost. These are not my words. These are the words in the Word of God. Only the Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you out of darkness into light. Brother Frank, that's all I got. You can close this out.
And I ain't got nothing to add to that. That'll close it out for me.
All right. Listen, as always, we say here at Mandate and Pathways to Truth Radio, our only goal is to create life and light and to lead you into a spirit of relationship with the Holy Ghost through the person of Jesus Christ. We only point people to Jesus. That's our only agenda. And we pray that you study God's word and that you read his word and you meditate on it and that you find a accountability partner and share God's word. That you break up the bread of life and that you eat it every day. Be strong, believe in yourself, and don't be afraid. Tune in this Thursday night at 7:00. For Pathways to Truth Radio, and again next Sunday at 9:00. Have an awesome week. Peace and blessings. Be strong, believe in yourself, and don't be afraid.
And now you can get great deals for your home, too. Hurry in to JCPenney this Friday and Saturday to find select Home Expressions 100% cotton solid bath towels for only $3. Plus, get an extra 20% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon on select apparel, home, shoes, fine jewelry, and accessories in-store and at jcp.com. Or save an extra 15% off with any other form of payment. Now that's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Prices valid 826 to 827 coupon required. Valid 824 to 828. Some exclusions apply. 20% offer subject to credit approval. Check jcp.com or newspaper for coupon details.
I figured out who the neighbor around the corner is.
Oh, yeah?
I like him a lot.
Ooh. He lets me talk as much as I want, is very simple, and has great plans.
Okay, I have to meet him.
Sure. Say hi. This is Metro PCS.
Metro PCS is in your neighborhood. Come say hi and get unlimited data, talk, and text for only $30, period. All on the fast nationwide 4G LTE T-Mobile network. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figure it out. Coverage not available in some areas. 1 gigabyte of high-speed data included. See store for details, terms and conditions, and data management info.